I'm incarnation where them Cardinals at, with them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-X, let's go Cardinals.
Play
em.
Cardinal game, get a Cardinal start. Play em. Cardinal
Welcome
strong, leave a Cardinal mark. And if you get Cardinal love.
Welcome to this week. A little technical difficulties, and I'm blaming that on Higgy just because he's sitting so close and he makes things so hot in here. Like, literally, he gives off the body heat of a Ford Camaro, like a Ford Fiero or whatever. It just, God damn. Welcome to the latest episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Coming to you live from the Custom Multicade studio. I am your host, Jeremy Wauman. Here today, it's a different little look today. Unfortunately, Hickey's still here, but we've got, to my right, Dalton Pence.
What's up?
This is where you say hello. Sam Basden.
What's up?
Little brother Joe Wauman.
What's up?
Hickey Two Snacks is in the house.
What's up, everybody?
Two is not enough for him.
His cholesterol.
And our special guest, our childhood friend, member of the family, the guy we all love, Terrence Farley. What's good, my man?
Hello.
Go ahead. Play your little. You want to play your little? The sounds from his phone are not necessarily reflected or, you know.
The views of the other
panel. Yeah, we don't really.
We do not own the rights to this ringtone.
we don't. And as we said, Sean's not here. He's handling a little bit of a family emergency, if you will. So, Sean, this will be the first podcast ever that we don't hear your voice.
Un-effing-believable.
Oh, crap. There it was. He was here anyway. So, you didn't miss an episode, Sean.
He's here in spirit.
He's here in spirit. So, shout out to all of our fine sponsors, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Altitude Trampoline Park, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, and Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. We appreciate you all. And I appreciate you all for coming out today. It's a Saturday. It's nice outside. You could be doing other things, but you're here recording with me. So, I appreciate that a lot. So, let's get into the show. First off, I do want to wish... this past week was my parents' 47th wedding anniversary.
Not just your parents?
Yeah. Sorry, I forget sometimes because you're either asleep or trash in Maryland. So,
well, they're trash, so they deserve it.
There you go. So we got that in real quick. But you know, I just hope that one day that me and Teresa could reach that mark. I think we will.
I'll never get there.
Joey will never get there. Sean will never get there.
You can't even add all mine up and get there.
Higgy will never get there. More than
whoa! I got a wedding in May now.
He has a chance,
bro. His cholesterol,
dude. He ordered the sampler from Shaq in the Back, which, by the way, Shaq in the Back's coming back on for season two. We appreciate them.
Good job, Jeremy.
Great food. Yeah, not a problem. That's what you call a segue into business. But he ordered the sampler, and they asked him which sides he wanted, and he said all of them, please.
He said, what do you mean?
Come on, Higgy, say something.
You didn't do that, did you?
Look,
he can't deny it.
He's just sitting there.
He had all the sides.
All the sides. But another quick couple of news and notes as you listen to this. I believe it will be Wednesday?
Tuesday.
So... Tuesday, Dalton will be a special guest on the Middays with Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage show.
Nice.
He's going to be spitting his recruiting knowledge. It's like I said earlier on Twitter, the best thing that we've done other than fire Paige in the last few months was at, oh, no, I don't care. Go ahead, play it. Come on. You're waiting.
I'm not going to do it.
You got to put your passcode
in.
I'm
not going
to
do it.
No, you have to.
I'm not going
to
do it.
All right, so the best thing we've done other than fire Paige in the last few months was add my guy Dalton. And,
well, I mean, now he gets he'll have done, you know, a show with the number one and number two co-host in the city of Louisville.
If you don't know, Joey,
I'm number two. Steve Rummage has said it.
Oh, my bad.
Steve Rummage did
say it, number two.
I mean, you got to go with what.
Did he say he was the number two or he was a number two?
No, he said I was the number two. I mean,
think he said he was
Jordan. He was
Jordan.
I'm Pippen. Well, it's fine.
We got to understand this is self-proclaimed too, so.
We're dancing on the fine line there, but, extremely excited.
Man. You're supposed to be on my side.
Yeah.
I'm against Steve right now, not you. I said Steve is self-proclaimed Jordan.
Number one. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I see where we're going. I was asleep, bro. I just woke up.
Had to wake him up here.
Egos.
But no, he's going to be spitting the recruiting knowledge. Like I said, the best thing that we've done since firing Page, that's the third time, was adding Dalton and Cards Hive to the team. They've been a great help. I know to Sam and Sean. And even though Higgy's technically on the recruiting team, really all he does is creepily watch all of our texts and stuff. But I'm excited for Dalton to have this opportunity. And hopefully it's something that happens on a weekly basis from now on. So I'm pretty psyched about that. But let's hop into the show. This week the depth charts were released, and there were some surprises on there. Sam, what were the biggest surprises to you as regarding to the depth chart for UofL football?
My biggest surprise for me on the
defense. I can't hear you.
My biggest surprise is you turned the
turn your microphone
off.
Back on. You turned it off and on.
I don't know how I did
that. On the show.
I mean, if you don't want to be on the show, just tell me.
But now, the biggest surprises for me defensively were the defensive ends, Kennard and Dorsey, start for one side of the defensive side, defensive end position. But offensively, I don't really see any surprises. I do want to caution fans to look out for the battle at left tackle between Adonis Boone and Trevor Reed.
Yeah,
I think whoever loses that position might be moved to right tackle if Renato Brown struggles. But other than that, offensively, no surprises. Defensively, like I said, Kennard and Dorsey, they were both good and serviceable last year. But I expect whoever loses the other side of defensive end battle with Tobias Peterson, Yaya Diaby, and Jadarian Boykin, whoever loses that might be the starter at the other defensive end position.
Now, Dorsey, he's the local kid, right, from Manual?
Yes, Derek Dorsey, yes.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Dalton? What were some of the surprises that you saw on the depth chart?
Well, I mean, technically there weren't many. I think the number one surprise, if you will, and it really wasn't even too big of a surprise per se, but Juwan Pass being that close behind Mikael Cunningham, you know, I believe I read where it said they were 1A, 1B in a sense. So it's definitely I guess rejuvenating to see Juwan still putting in the work even when he lost the starting spot and had all those injuries last year. But it kind of just goes to show you the quarterback room. You know, Juwan is still a prominent figure in there. Evan Conley hasn't taken that over yet.
Man, and what a quarterback room that is. You got to think you've got Mikael Cunningham, and I can verify through – I hate to, this sounds so douchey – sources that is indeed the fact. It is Pass and Mikael. They're still battling for the number one spot. But then you got Evan Conley in there. You've got T. Webb. We could have had Chubba Purdy if he'd have stuck to his commitment. I mean, but now we see why he's not.
He's a
here.
Loser.
He didn't go to Maryland.
That's why I didn't say he's trash. He's a loser.
That's fair. And now we're in the running for Deion Sanders' son, which you may or may not have known that Shedeur Sanders, T. Let me ask you this question. What do you think, because we've already asked everybody else this, but you weren't here for that. What do you think the allure of – so Shedeur Sanders, he's a quarterback. He quarterbacks in Texas. He's a three-star quarterback. Not the best, not the worst. He's pretty good. What is the allure for Louisville of landing somebody, which basically I think for me anyway, which this is going to sound bad, but like I think the biggest thing about landing him would be the fact that we get primetime Deion Sanders. How big is that for a program? Because, I mean, it was a different sport, but you were a basketball recruit before, and your big fish was kind of Rick Pitino. You always wanted to play for Rick Pitino. You loved his coaching style. But for UofL football fans, what is the allure of landing somebody like Shedeur Sanders?
I mean, you already said it already. It's just the name in itself. I mean, branding is everything, not just with Adidas or University of Louisville, but with the name itself. Just like I said, with Sanders, like, come on. He goes through here. That's recruiting for the next five, six, mm-hmm. 7 years. You know, it's just like when
– on top of what Lamar's doing in the NFL.
Well, on top of what Teddy did. And, it's right. You know, it just keeps on going. When you start to get those kind of names coming in here and them making a name for themselves, and plus on top of the success that we're starting to, you know, run into, and, you know, I'm really proud of the Satterfield, you know, turnaround that we had too, because he surprised the crap out of me, man. I'm not going to lie. So just to get another high-profile name in here.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Satterfield here in a few minutes, because I think – You know, there's a lot of people that was like, oh, man, Scott Satterfield, that sucks. And, you know, you hear the cliche to turn around the culture. And a lot of times it's not. It that has happened here. And we will give you an example here in a little bit on how that has helped us get our latest commit for the football team. But were there any Higgy, I'm going to go to you, not just because the next topic is disappointments. It just happened to be that way. Were there any disappointments on the depth chart for you?
I'd say PJ Blue. I thought he'd be a bigger presence.
He's not on the team anymore.
But that's just a disappointment in my factors. I hate it for him being injury ridden.
Can you talk into the microphone, please?
Yes, being injury ridden his whole career just made me sad to see him off
made
the
you
team.
Blue?
Yes, it made me blue.
Un-effing believable.
What about you, Sam or Dalton? Neither one. Any disappointments?
All right. My one disappointment, I don't think most people would see it as a disappointment, is Marlon Character. When he came in here, I thought for sure he would be our corner. Like, I have no problem with Chandler Jones or Anthony Johnson. They're great. But I just thought Marlon Character would have been able to push one of those two younger guys to be a permanent starter on that as a cornerback. And he hasn't so far.
Dalton?
I mean, they're not too terribly young. Yeah,
they're not.
Chandler Jones, I believe, is a junior.
Gosh, he's old. Yes.
And Anthony Johnson is a redshirt junior. So, yes. But, I mean, I think that's more of a testament to, you know, how well they've been playing, because Chandler Jones really had a breakout season this past season for the Cardinals, and Anthony Johnson was more of one of the more consistent players, if you will, in the secondary. A couple disappointments I had. I know he's coming off an ACL tear last year. Josh Johnson had a lot of high hopes for him as a slot receiver, but, you know, it's pretty packed. Tutu Atwell has that unlocked this season. And it seems like the newcomers, Braden Smith out of JUCO, Nick Melito, coming in as a high school senior. You know, it was just kind of underwhelming there. And I also think, you know, Trenell Troutman is another guy that when he came in, I believe he was a 4-star on some recruiting sites.
Yes,
and
he was.
Was kind of a tweener in between the car position, outside linebacker and safety. I don't even believe he was listed on the depth chart.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, I know he's going to be he's definitely going to be a play in special teams, but you know, if
he has all his years so far, he's been really good on special team.
Exactly. And I mean, but at the same token, you know, it seems like with the system that Brian Brown plays with, the whole versatility, guys that can make plays,
right.
You would think Troutman would fit that mold. It's just a little bit underwhelming. I'm interested to see, you know, just how well, if he's able to get on the field in terms of some different packages, not just special teams.
But he's playing behind some pretty good DBs in Russ Yeast. And at the guard position, you do have Rajay Burns.
And Marvin Dallas coming in.
And
Marvin Dallas, let me tell you, for those who are not familiar with Marvin Dallas, go watch his senior year huddle, and I'm telling you, you'll watch this kid and you'll think, okay, how is he not the starter already? I mean, his tape was phenomenal. I mean, he saw one of the biggest jumps in the JUCO ratings, and Cam Wilson's another guy, 4-star freshman. So,
do you hear this voice? This is radio. This is what a radio voice is supposed to sound like, Higgy, not like taking breaths in between words or sweating through the headphones.
I got another name to throw out that I thought was kind of a surprise.
Are they on the team?
Yes.
Okay.
Christian Fitzpatrick. I thought he would be a little bit higher.
Christian
Fitzpatrick.
I mean, Higgy.
Where would you want him to start?
I wouldn't want him to start, but I would expect him to.
That's what we were talking about.
Well, you have to think. Let's do a little process of elimination.
Right,
you know,
let's go ahead.
Christian, the younger Fitzpatrick, was he like 6'4"?
Right.
So there's a lot of value in being a tall receiver because, you know, we lose Seth Dawkins. Des Fitzpatrick is starting at one side. That's already pretty much set in stone.
Right.
Justin Marshall has been waiting in the wings, and I think he's going to be a guy that, you know, sets the world on fire in terms of being like a secondary receiver, because I think Mikel's going to definitely open up the offense. Secondary, I mean, like, not considering the slot.
Okay.
I mean, like, this second outside receiver.
Yeah,
Tutu obviously has that unlocked.
Tutu and Des for
and then,
and two.
You know, you turn around, Corey Reed's back with the program, and that's a guy that I mean, he turned heads coming in as a high school junior coming into camps, and, you know, RIP to his father that passed away from COVID.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't think we can overlook the extra motivation there that he has. So, I mean, I don't really take it as kind of a knock on Christian. I really take it as, you know, Louisville one of their staples is just having a glutton of great wide receivers. And it's going to be the case this year with Gunter Brewer on staff. You know, we're going to continue to get studs as we see in the 2021 class as well.
I'm like a proud papa over here. I just absolutely love the fact, you know, Dalton's taking your spot. I've decided that right now.
Before we move on, though, another position we should watch, outside linebacker, Yasir Abdullah and Nick Okeke. Those two are
good. Especially the first one.
Right. I mean, we won't lose any, depending on who starts. They're both really, really talented. And it's a shame that we can't have them both on the field at the same time. But I mean, next year, though, watch out.
That's a good problem to have. Okay, I want to get your all's take. You know, what was the biggest fallacy in the Louisville defense last season?
Oh,
I say depth.
Toast.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're right on the money. This year, you know, last year we're considering, okay, who's going to step in to fill this role? This year, it's a different token. Now we're saying, okay, who's going to start? Because we have some guys on this defense that, you know, this is a great problem to have. I am all for, you know, debating on who's going to start just because they're both good. I'll do that 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. Like, I'm so ready to see Louisville defenses be respectable again. You know, it seems like light years since we had Van Gorder and Peter Sermon. So, you know, I'm definitely two names that probably shouldn't be mentioned ever again.
I think the last time we had a really, really respectable defense was probably 2014.
I would agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Plus, I want to mention the fact, to touch on what y'all were talking about earlier, this wide receiver group may be the deepest group we've had since the late 90s. I mean, because you gotta think that was Deion Branch and Damian Dorsey and Lavelle Boyd and Charles Sheffield, Zeke Parker. I know that's before were you watching TV in 1999, Higgy, or were you like just throwing down bottles?
Probably just watching Cowboys games with the old man.
Well, that sounds like an awful time. sorry, but no, I would say that's Teddy's sometimes we get laughing, we can't stop. I would say a close second, though, and I may even give them the nod over Lavelle and them. I'm not just mentioning Lavelle because he's a friend.
The Afros,
yeah. But Andrell Smith, Eli Rogers, Devontae Parker. There were a couple.
Damian Copeland.
Damian Copeland.
Was Kai De La Cruz. I mean,
Who was the little white dude? Radcliffe, right?
Scott Radcliffe.
Yeah.
Imagine the career Michael Lee Harris would have had
if he didn't have those injuries. Yes, his freshman year, he was maybe the top receiver on the squad.
He was, in terms of
statistics.
When they let you into practice and you watch the one-on-one drills, he was cooking DB.
I was going to say his first year. We did see you there, but me and Steve went to watch him, and he was probably the most technically sound as far as routes, turning point, high point in the ball of any receiver I've ever seen in my entire life.
Man.
In person. So, all right, well, let's move on just a little bit. Last question, and I'm not – disappointments are over, Higgy. Is there any that right now, if you look at it and say, okay, we see where the depth chart is now, is there anybody that you expect to take over? Dalton, I'll let you go first. Anything you expect to change by the first game?
Well, I don't think necessarily. There's not going to be too much that fluctuates between the first game. I don't think, you know, that's kind of a byproduct of we're not going to have a full-on fall practice. We're assuming that this is going to happen, and, you know, we'll stay under that assumption until otherwise noted. But I think by the middle of the season, that's when we're going to start seeing some turnover in terms of the depth chart. One name to really look out for, just not only because of opportunity, but just because of skill as well, Jamel Starks was a part of our 2019 class, wasn't able to be a part of that, is now on the 2020 class, but counted toward, or I'm sorry, 2018 class, got put on the 2019 class and counted toward a scholarship on that one. Gotcha. He's definitely a talented guy, because if you look at the depth chart, you know, after Anthony Johnson, after Chandler Jones, Marlon Character, there's, you know, Greedy Vance and Marquis Lowry, two freshmen, are second on the depth chart. So I really see Jamel Starks having his own avenue to create opportunity.
Maybe Troutman can get in there, maybe. But for me, it would be the defensive end position, Kennard and Dorsey. I don't think either one of them starts.
Really?
I think it's going to be either Boykin or Diaby. I don't – they're too talented not to start over Derek Dorsey or Dana Kennard.
Yeah. And the one thing that they do well that we didn't have last year pass was rush the opposing quarterback. You cannot understate that because our defense will start to change when we're starting to make opposing quarterbacks make quicker decisions whenever we start to, you know, shake them up in the pocket. But if you let quarterbacks, you know, Ian Book, I remember last year, just had years to throw. Trevor Lawrence the same way. Obviously, the state of those two programs are a little more superior. But even, you know, I mean, it just goes to show. I mean, Eric Dungy. I mean, there was not Eric Dungy. Who's the quarterback at Syracuse? Oh, what's his name?
That's him. Yeah. Tony Dungy is the coach.
No.
Tony Dungy is the coach.
Oh.
Don't you correct me.
I don't know if Eric Dungy was there last season. He was there the
Tommy DeVito.
That's what it was.
Yeah, Eric Dungy was there.
I thought you were trying to think of Dungy's first name.
Yeah, you're right. He was there
for the 15 years before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Tommy DeVito had, like, he could make a sandwich and come back and throw the ball. I mean, it was the fact that we just didn't have a lot of pass rush. And that, you know, it's no disrespect to our guys on the team because, you know, they had to play. Seems like 95% of the snaps. So, I mean, they had to be exhausted. But now we have depth and we have the quality because I think Yaya's going to be a guy who starts multiple games. I think Boykin's going to come in and start game one.
That's funny because Higgy could eat a sandwich in the amount of time that he had to throw.
Literally, you said sandwich and Higgy's eyes got so big. And I can't necessarily say that had one thing had to do with the other. But we'll go ahead and say it because that makes it funny. Higgy, you know what? Gosh dang it.
No, I
think Chris Redman will come in and start a quarterback. He's got a good arm. He runs tough.
No, I was going to say Trevor Reed and Yaya Diaby were my two for looking forward to for the season.
Did you all see
Trevor Reed do the backflip?
Yes.
Oh, yes. My Lord. Jesus Christ.
That was impressive. That was very, very impressive. Well, look out on Cardinal Sports Zone today. We put out a piece by Hive and in Dalton, which it gives you all the Flyville 21 commits so far. It gives you a breakdown of them and what they both like about them. And Sean even jazzed it up and put some highlights.
And it compares them to former college and Louisville standouts.
Absolutely.
And some of those were really tough. Like, I'm sitting here watching some of these guys. Like, I mean, I could see multiple ones getting to the league with the right development. You know, that might be false optimism just because I am a Louisville fan, so my opinion's a little biased. But when I try to look at it in the most unbiased, analytic lens that I can, it's really evident that a lot of these guys have a solid foundation. And one constant that you see throughout the recruiting class is these guys have one thing in common, and that one thing is that they're driven. They're a complexity of things. They're driven. They're humble. They don't want anything handed to them. And, you know, they just want to make a name for not only themselves, but for the team. They're so unselfish. And, I mean, I think the 2021 class is honestly going to go down as the best one in school history.
And I won't argue with that. I mean, it'll be in the stats. We'll be able to tell if the proof is in the pudding. I'm not real pudding, Higgy. Your laugh, it's just like he's over there laughing, and it's throwing me off a little bit. But hopefully, so that alongside with that, Jeff Nunn and JK is returning to the site this Monday. They have collaborated for a position by position series that I don't know if Dalton if he's helping out with that this year, but he will be next year, and Hive as well. That's something that we're looking forward to. But that starts on Monday. I don't know what the first position is, but Jeff sent me a message and said, hey, plug the series. So yesterday, the first series, I forget about when this is. We don't know if Daniel's going to get it out right away or not. So Monday, what's the date Monday?
The 13th.
Monday the 13th, the first position by position post will be posted. So stay tuned to Cardinal Sports Zone for that. All this stuff is assuming that we're even going to have a football season. So all of our fingers are crossed. We're not sure what it's going to look like, but what did happen yesterday is that the ACC has come out and they have flat out alluded to the fact that if the season happens this year, that Louisville, each ACC team would only play conference games and if they had Notre Dame on their schedule, that they would play them too. Sam, I'll go with you first. Do you think that's going to work? Is that a good – I know the other – I'm more in favor of the second option that was pitched, but do you think that's a good idea, the conference-only games plus Notre Dame?
The only reason why I think the conference-only game is going to work is if each conference has their own specific guidelines and set of rules.
Right.
So I can regulate and I can monitor, hey, Boston College isn't doing what they were supposed to do like the rest of the league is doing, then you can't play. So the ACC conference might have a certain set of rules that the SEC don't have,
right,
that the Big Ten don't have. So we don't want to go ahead and play those schools when they might be more lax and their treatment and their measures, so we don't want to get our players sick. So that's the only reason why I see this working, is if everyone abides by the same set of rules.
Well, yeah, because it's easier to regulate,
right,
your own, take care of your own business. I just wonder how it's going to work for the teams that play Notre Dame, because that means that six teams will play nine games and the other eight or nine will play eight games.
They're going to have to regulate it in some uniformity. this whole playing in a conference thing in a vacuum is not it, Chief. Here's the thing. I'm going to ask y'all another question. What is the NCAA better at than anyone else?
Sitting on the
holding down the athletes.
Screwing things up.
Yeah.
Well, and making the wrong decisions. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I understand they want to eliminate, like, you know, for those who don't know, I'm a big LSU fan. LSU has to play Texas this year in Death Valley. That's not a huge distance, but, you know, Ohio State has to go up to Oregon to play, or they did. It looks like almost all of the conferences.
Right. Big Ten's already come out and said that they're the first ones to come out and say it.
But what about the – like, when you look at Louisville's schedule, I know that, you know, they're trying to remain uniform in their policy, but when you look at a team like Louisville's schedule, I mean, three of the out-of-conference games are in-state. One of them is Notre Dame, which is going to be basically fall into that ACC, you know, blanket.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, if we're trying to limit travel, there's a lot of teams that play cupcakes, and those cupcakes are within the state. Now, I know that that's not verbatim for all of the teams out there. I think we should look at it's a good start, the conference thing, but I think we need to tweak it. It needs to be a hybrid. We need to have some form of out-of-conference games only if they're in the state.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about limiting travel, why would we want to send Louisville up to Boston College when they can play Western Kentucky
right.
in the state?
So,
or yeah, I don't
want those other people.
So yeah, let's say just for this purpose that they decide we're going to play a full 12 games, and that we're just going to substitute those three that are in the state with like I think it would be like Georgia Tech, North Carolina and Duke or something like that. Georgia Tech, North Carolina, and Pittsburgh, one of those. Okay, well, you take away Murray State, which is about 2.5 hours away. You take away Western Kentucky. I mean, you'll be playing that at home. They're just under 2 hours away. And Kentucky, we obviously know, is about 1:30.
That's a doll in the swear jar, sir.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. But, I mean, I don't want to take
up too much. I thought we played Bowling Green this year.
No.
No.
Never mind.
But I mean,
brain fart.
You know, not to sit here and just ramble on, but like, when you look at schedules like this, because you know all of the Power Five teams, they're out of conference games. A lot of them, if it's not like another Power Five team, a lot of those are in state.
Right.
I mean, rarely ever do we pick. Well, I know that Kentucky's like it has like Tennessee, Martin, and stuff Swear like
jar.
That. Okay. But I mean, when are we gonna start looking at this? Like, okay, well, if you're going to say you're doing this because you want to limit travel, then we actually need to go by that. You can't throw that out there and then the underlying reason be you want to make more money because more conference games are going to draw you in more money because it's going to be more viewership.
I was going to say, what about the little schools like Murray State that need the revenue for their football programs,
yeah,
their other sports, their spring sports
don't
and everything?
Don't bring up logic into this conversation because one thing we've learned about the NCAA,
whether it be basketball,
whether it be football, Louisville is public enemy number one in the NCAA's eyes, and we know they have no logic. Ask Luke Hancock and all those guys.
Absolutely. The one that I've seen floating out there that I kind of like, and I tweaked it a little bit, so I feel like this would be a better thing. there's 15 football teams in the ACC when you throw Notre Dame in the mix. So why not have 3 5-team pods? You play home and away with each of those four teams that are in your pod. That'll give you 8 games. The next week you take the top four teams in the standings. You play them off, and then you play a championship. So you're going to get 10 games total. You'll get your 8 games. Then if you're one of the top four teams, you'll get your final four game and your championship game, and then you'll get your bowl game. If those we still don't know if any of this is even going to happen.
We're not going to have any bowl games. All right.
But tell me what
can,
you...
Can I be devil's advocate for a second?
Sure.
While we're around this.
Sure.
This is round table job, right
ahead.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the first one probably in sports to say, I don't even want the season if we got to keep on tweaking things. Listen, we're forgetting the most essential part to sports in general. It's competition. Right. Who in the world wants to sit here and play the same teams in your own in your own conference? If I'm Louisville, if I'm Florida State, I want to beat the biggest and the baddest. I want to beat the LSUs. I want to beat – that's competition. We're losing all that now, having to say, well, we want to play the ACC. Just because you win the ACC doesn't make you the best team.
It makes you the best team in the ACC, and it'll put you in a better bowl.
So it's like I want to go against and you know, kick the crap out of LSU and say, I'm the best.
And to piggyback off of what T said.
But you would have to win the ACC to do that anyway.
But here's the thing. Say you do it. Well, okay,
if that wasn't already on the schedule.
The Power 5 conferences, assuming they're going to do a playoff, how do you determine which conference gets left out? Let's say that there's 5 teams, you know, in a theory, that all go undefeated. Which conference are you leaving out?
Because, the Pac-12. Automatically.
I was just going to say automatically
leave the Pac-12.
If Maryland wins the Big Ten?
They're still better than the Pac-12.
Maryland,
unfortunately.
That's the first positive thing we've heard about
but
Maryland.
But they're trash.
It's just like Rutgers. They're not going to win anything.
Let's say Oregon goes 12-0. That's a team that holds a lot of weight. And let's say a team like it's Oregon, Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson. Which one are you taking
Oregon
out?
Is out. The Pac-12.
I don't know, though.
Why are you taking out Texas?
Or Oklahoma. Let's switch for Oklahoma.
Okay then Pac-12.
I'm not so sure, though.
Why not? For the last 5 years, the Pac-12 has been, like Maryland, trash.
Yeah.
That's true.
They shouldn't even be a Power 5 anymore.
But even when they make it to the playoffs, they don't do anything.
I mean, they did go to the national title game back in 2014.
Yeah.
That was not 5 years
ago. Did they win?
That's true.
Have they won? They've not...
No, Washington and Oregon are the only two teams that have...
Washington went to the semis in 16.
And they shouldn't have been there either.
Yeah,
so, should have been mobile.
They've been trash for the last 5 years. So until that changes, you leave Oregon out.
But that the way you said it is similar. I mean, if you think about it, you know, college is to get people ready for the pros as well. And that's how the pros do it. I mean, you have your divisions. You play your division teams twice. Then you play, obviously you sprinkle in other conference and non-conference games, but I wouldn't be opposed to playing Florida State twice.
I wouldn't either.
You know,
but like
it is what it is.
It takes away the whole virtue of college football.
It takes away the tradition of it, but we're not in traditional times.
That is
so
true.
This is also a chance to, you know, to give these kids and the fans something that's different. And, you know, maybe they go through the season, you know, I really like that.
Let's say you said that just do away with it for this year, okay? That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What happens to that junior or that senior that comes out of nowhere? Mm-hmm. He's not going to be seen now. He doesn't have the chance to make it to that next level now because he didn't have this 1 year.
The players aren't thinking about let's get rid of it. And no offense, like you know how you explain it. They're not that.
They
want
to play.
They don't care if it's
everybody
Florida A&M or
almost everybody involved.
Kansas or Clemson every game. They want to play.
They will do something like that before they cancel the season.
If I don't play and I don't get in front of scouts or I don't be seen, I can't. I don't have a future.
In a vacuum, yeah. I mean, but at the same time, you know, there are combines. There are, you know,
How am I
going
to get invited to a combine?
There are guys that don't get drafted that go on to be absolute studs. Now, I know that those are few and far in between.
Right.
You're right. The opportunity goes away. I think that's why the NCAA is trying to scramble to do everything that they can. Because let's be honest, like the health situations in terms of, you know, positive cases – it's getting worse. And it's going to continue to do that until people start taking some initiative. But I'm not going to hop into that realm. But let's say like a Trevor Lawrence goes down with the coronavirus. And he's out for 2 weeks. And it just so happens to be early January when they go to play the – what's going to happen when big-name guys start
– I mean, he could have just as easily tore his ACL.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's you're on the injury report either way. I mean, right. It's something that keeps you out of, you know, out of the game, but
go ahead there.
But although you're right, but he would have tore his ACL against a big name school versus the same person in your conference. If you just do away for this 1 year, and I get it. People are going to, you know, they're going to lose their opportunity for that 1 year. You're right. And I feel sorry for the seniors as well. But just like I said, we're so desperate to watch sports and to want to play, and we're losing the main thing that matters, which is competition. Being able to play on those big stages, man, playing against a Murray State.
Yeah, you can still have big stages in conference.
But at the end of the day, like to refute that, when you say, you know, competition is the main value, wouldn't that kind of, you know, negate the canceling of the season? Wouldn't that say, okay, well, we want to compete regardless, no matter who we play? You know, if we have to play the same conference teams twice, and that's the only way we get football, so be it. We'll do it.
And let's all get around the fact that, look, it is a business too.
Oh, it most definitely is.
It is a business, and first there is and money foremost. To be made. And you know, unless you're a state school that's state funded, some of these schools aren't. They need that income, and that comes from college football. That comes from TV deals. That's how they stay alive.
You know,
every single time that we say we're going to get a podcast down to 45 minutes, we get into it to a passionate, heated discussion.
I threw a bomb.
And it's in. That's what
makes it great, though, because you know, there's so many ways that this could end up turning out. And I think, you know, if there's ever going to be a discussion relevant on July 11, 2020, it's what the hell's going to happen.
And, yes, I crave sports. I'll be the first one to tell you, man. I can't wait. I'm tired of watching cornhole.
My thing is that I agree with you, but I do not want this at the sake of anybody's health. Yeah. You know, the health is first and foremost. Right. Like I was saying before, your little 14-minute and 35-second tirade just went on. The model I've seen that I like is the 5-team pod where you play home and home against you create 3 divisions. Now here's what I came up with. Division 1 would be North Carolina, Duke, Wake, NC State, and Georgia Tech. Pod number 2 would be Virginia Tech, Florida State, Clemson, and Miami. You know, geographic wise, with pod 3 being the 5 northern schools, which would be Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Boston College, Louisville, and Notre Dame.
So we would. Oh well, you said no. I was about to say so. We're winning that with flying colors.
Right. Well, I mean, we could split or sweep Notre Dame.
That's true.
So, Louisville and Notre Dame could both make the. Yeah.
So how do you determine, you know, who goes out? The top 3, or is it the top 2 in both divisions go into like an ACC playoff to see who
you
gets
could do
the
it that way. There's plenty of ways you couldn't do it to where there was more than 2 weeks of games. So right. You would need to have like. I know.
You can have 3. You can have 3. You can have just like the NFL conference. Well, before where the 1 and 2 top records got a bye, and then wild cards play.
All 3 of the divisional winners get an automatic bye.
If you were sitting here, I just thought of something.
Okay.
And maybe we can move on after this.
I hope so.
If 3 really do go to conference only games, think about what the little school up there. That the East is going to do, they have to play 8 or 10 SEC games.
Oh, they are notorious. Them and
well, there's 3 or 4 wins that they counted on that they ain't got.
That's what I just thought of just now.
For sure.
Like,
K and Alabama have the easiest cupcake schedules.
K.
Is that not.
No, I like it.
Get out of here, Higgins.
Special K.
Get out of here, Higgins.
He can't. Look at him.
Waste Management K.
Higgy, you need to sweat. I thought you were calling him. Sweat person yourself, bro. Like you need to bring Megan to wipe the gravy off your.
Oh, if they go to SEC play only, the Kitty Cats are going to get fried.
Yes,
they can't hide in the conforms of the SEC East.
Oh, I can just hear it now. Louisville fans is the one who brought the coronavirus around just so we can get slaughtered in football.
They just didn't want to lose by what was it 35 again or
yeah? They just didn't want us to play them.
Is there anybody out of the three team conference that I propose, anybody that y'all would interchange Or did they sound pretty as far as
geographically wise? You made a lot of sense.
Pretty much.
Because you had the Carolina. There's four teams in Carolina. And I just threw Georgia Tech in there just for – because I couldn't throw – I was going to throw Virginia in there. I was like, well, if you throw Virginia in there, you got to throw Virginia Tech too. So for balance – now, there's no doubt that the Miami, Clemson, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Virginia pod is the toughest out of the three pods.
For sure.
Yes.
At one time, except for Virginia, which is kind of like my Maryland –
I don't like them either.
Okay, just making sure.
But they're not trash.
They are the longest reigning NCAA champions in history.
Oh, please not. Let's just move on, please.
Put some money in the cookie jar.
They're actually not. We
there's
went over
not
that.
Any cookies in there because Hickey was there first.
UCLA won 10 straight. So it's 10 years straight that they were the reigning champions.
That's true.
No, they won,
that's true.
They won seven.
Or whatever.
Then,
how many
seven
ever
and
straight?
Seven and four.
Yeah, they are. They
okay.
will always be
okay.
the
lowest. Yeah, take that, Virginia.
They won 11.
Yeah, so
it was 7-4, I believe.
Yeah. Well, speaking of taking that, let's take a break real quick. We'll be right back with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast.
Come on out to Four Pegs Beer Lounge, located at 1053 Goss Avenue. Four Pegs has the best and most worlds for your eating pleasure. With daily specials on food and drinks and weekly dishes that are sure to wow your taste buds, Four Pegs is the place for you. One of my favorite things about Four Pegs, other than the food, is the great atmosphere and fun times you can have at Four Pegs. Chris is a community pillar and a great guy, and you can tell he wants everyone to have a great time there. For more info and daily specials, give our guy Chris a call at 502-634-1447. That's 502-634-1447. Four Pegs Beer Lounge.
Come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville, located in the heart of Shively. We are a huge, bright, family-friendly trampoline park. We offer large spaces for birthday parties with top-of-the-line experiences and 2 hours of jump time with every party. Our prices for family fun are competitive with the other guys as well. Make sure you check out our foam area. It's awesome. So come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville and have a blast. I know me and my sisters always do.
Yeah, buddy.
If you have any questions, please give us a call at 502-449-9952. That's 502-449-9952.
Hello, Card Nation. If you need your yard taken care of, then go to a guy that I trust. Rob Black in Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. If you need it done, they can do it. Rob has over 30 years of experience in the business, and he takes care of my lawn as well. He does an amazing job. Services include lawn care, fall cleanups, pressure washing, landscaping, soft washing, gutter cleaning, cleanups, and much more. Average yard costs about $30. Average overall cleanup cost is about $125. So if you're interested, give our guy Rob at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping a call at 502-773-5757. That's 502-773-5757. Derby City Lawn and Landscaping.
Custom Multicades makes authentic, quality arcade machines at the most reasonable prices. When you're looking for the perfect piece for your family game room or man cave, you can find what you want at Custom Multicades. Right here in the Ville. Whether you're looking for an upright game, cocktail table game, or even a bourbon barrel game, Custom Multicades is the place to go. They even carry Golden Tee games and virtual pinball machines as well. You can get all the classic games you love, like Pac-Man, Galaga, Centipede, Space Invaders, Donkey Kong, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, WrestleFest, Altered Beast, so much Shinobi, Bad Dudes, Ninja Gaiden, all of them, just depending on which pack you pick. When you get in contact with Chris and Linda, they will steer you to the right pack. They are some of the best customer service people that I've ever dealt with. I have one in my home, so you can trust me on that. They do pride themselves, though, on providing the best product at a reasonable price and backing that up with excellent customer service. They are a locally owned company by Chris and Linda Stewart. They have been in the amusement business for over 20 years. But let's get back to that game. You can customize it not only with games, but with graphics. Their graphics team can help you turn your arcade into a family heirloom or business centerpiece. Pro teams, college teams, even your business logo, maybe even your face. Don't quote me on that one. That may be incorrect. You can also get light up buttons, light up joysticks. You can customize the trim, all of the panel stickers, everything. It's an amazing product, and I can say that because I have one in my home. So if you're interested in getting your own arcade game, give them a call at 502-819-5802. That's 502-819-5802. Or check them out online at CustomMultiCades.com. Welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Come to you live. The conversations we have off the air gave you a little taste of that there. They're awesome. Just trying to get this. We're trying to get this mother going, right, Joey?
Get it going.
Get it going. We're back with you live from the – well, live, delay, whatever.
I'm alive.
From the Custom Multicade studio. Before we get to the last half of the show, which hopefully does not last another 45 minutes for you all.
It might.
We apologize for that. I mean, we know that
– We don't.
That's true. We kind of don't. We know if you love our content, you'll stay there for the whole time. But I know for me, myself, anything – if I preview a podcast and it's more than 45 minutes – I just look for something different to listen to. Don't do that with us, though, because we're awesome. But those other shows, I listen to our show, though.
If you put it out, they will come.
That's true. You know, forget what I just said.
That's what she said.
Daggone it, Joey.
But Sean is here.
No, he's not. That's
un-effing believable.
For sure. What do we put on this one?
I would just hand it in and shit a kiss hand it to him.
Did you ever hear that?
I swear.
And then we got Steve shit-a-kiss. To ask him to clarify it, and instead of shit a kiss, odd shit in his hand.
Yeah, he literally just. I thought
What did you mean? Really mean by that, Higgy? Oh, I was just going to say I'd shit in his hand.
I forgot I put that one on there. What else is on here? Oh, that's your theme music. Nobody can hear. You're not talking into the mic. Pretend like it's a hot dog.
I thought that was Paige's now.
Don't eat it. Stop throwing. Didn't your mom ever teach you not to sit on the armrest of the chair or a couch?
Man, I got so many whoopings for that.
That couch is screaming for help.
I don't even do it, and I'm an adult.
I'm going to have to put a cast around that arm of that chair.
He's talking about taps.
Take your hat off and salute the couch, sir.
Man, you just gave that couch a hairline fracture to its arm.
Anyway, back
and
to the
And he's still sitting on it.
Speaking of a hairline fracture. Sorry. Higgy's hair. Never mind. Anyway, before we get to the second part of the show, let's talk about our fine sponsors. First off, we got our guy Chris Williams out at Four Pegs Beer Lounge. Give him a call, 502-634-1447. If you Google Four Pegs, it'll give you his complete up-to-date hours of operation. Lucy, leave me alone. Sorry, the dog's over here just bothering. She's almost not quite giving off the body heat of Higgy, but it's close. But go to Four Pegs, delicious food, great atmosphere. He's about to launch a new menu, and I expect that to be just as fire as the current menu is. They're currently doing patio dining and carry out. They're reopening July 15th with full table service. For the first time, and again, like I said, an exciting new menu. Chris has been out there in the streets feeding all the protesters. I need to take this moment once again to inform you all that protesters and rioters are not the same people. They do not have the same common goal, so stop lumping everybody into that one category. Everybody that's a rioter is not a protester. Everybody that's a protester is not a rioter. It just gets on my...
You said that twice.
I'll say it
for
again.
Emphasis.
I'll say it again for the people in the back.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
I don't know that I can get any louder. I'm a loud person as it is. But anyway, shout out to Chris. He always takes care of us. He signed on for season two. Appreciate him. Love that guy. He's out there, you know, feeding everybody. So something that's close to Higgy's heart, being fed. Also, let's give a shout out to Fitness Market. Call Chris Weider.
Close to Higgy's heart.
Right. No. Fitness Market. Chris Weider out there. 502-882-2694. He hooked us up with the brand new treadmill that we have down here in Cardinal Sports Zone Studios. Well, I'm sorry. Custom Multicade Studios. Well, we're not on the podcast. It's Cardinal Sports Zone Studios. But anyway, it's an amazing machine. I have put in probably like 40. I've had it for what, like a week and a half now? Almost 2 weeks, and I have put like 2 or 3 hours in it, on it every day. They have great products out there. I'm about to go buy me a dumbbell set here when I get back from vacation from them. The quality products, great people. Chris and Sarah are awesome people out there. If you're in the market, no pun intended, for any kind of exercise equipment or workout equipment, whatever it is, give them a call. Once again, it's 502-882-2694. Derby City Lawn and Landscape, and our guy Rob Black, he's one of those guys that he's a self-made person. He started a lawn service, I think, 10 to 15 years ago, and he stuck with it, and now as of last month, he's operating out of his own building. He's got multiple crews he sends out. He does great work. He was on my football team with me at DOS. He was a year behind me, but he does excellent work. He's got great prices. He'll work with you. If you've got an elderly person in your life that needs their yard taken care of, give him a call. Somebody in the military, just mention that you heard about him from Cardinal Sports Zone, and he'll give you a 10% discount. I'm not really sure if he signed off on that or not, but I said it, so that makes it partially true. It'll come out of Higgy's paycheck, if not. Last but not least, Custom Multicades, Linda and Chris Stewart, 502-819-5802. They have supplied the Custom Multicade studio with a couple of arcade machines that are just awesome. I'm going to come to you in a second, T, because I know you've got something to say about this, but I've got the sit-down cocktail table over here. It's got all the old school video games that you used to play when you went to go cash in your book-it certificate at Pizza Hut. It's got Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Centipede, Frogger. It's got all the good old school games on it. Make sure you give them a call. 502-819-5802. Tell them about the stand-up arcade. We know it's got Mortal Kombat. Your microphone's off. Why can't y'all keep your mics on? That's why we don't
like you holding them. You're the phantom of this whole multicade. You turned my thing off. I never turned it off.
No, that's why I don't like y'all holding the microphones.
You know what? Stop it, guy. Stop it.
Look, pal.
I mean, now, when it took a nosedive, it probably turned itself off.
Correct.
It may have.
Oh, my headphones did it.
Just blame Higgy.
Nonetheless.
But it's got Mortal Kombat. It's got Street Fighter. It's got Tekken.
Why was the first thing?
It's got Super Mario Brothers. What else does it have?
Why is the first thing that came to your mind is to bring it over to the cocktails? Like, I enjoy a cocktail every once in a while or something. Cocktails are bad. But to talk about this machine over here, man, it's amazing. I was playing Golden Axe. It brought me back to when I was 7 years old on Nintendo all over again. Sega, all over again, man. It was crazy. So I got over there. I started getting a little carried away on it. It's got everything, man. And
Sonic the Hedgehog's on there.
Some of those things, the Japanese games, I never even heard of. And I'm like, geez, I'm going to spend a lot of hours over here, man. I'll tell you that.
That's all I had to do. I thought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles machine I got would bring you in.
I'm about to put my whole 401k.
There's one game on there that says Big Boy Eat. And when you click on it, it kind of looks like it does. I knew
this was going.
Sean, come back, please.
The writing on the wall, man. Sorry, Higgy.
Sean may have just had his spot taken by T. That was a great analogy. Plus, you know, there's less virgins on the couch when Sean's not here and T's here.
And,
so.
by less, he means zero.
Yeah, I mean zero. Nevertheless. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We love you all. They're all signed on for season two. We got all that. No thanks to Higgy. We got all of our sponsors re-signed for season two. And we got a couple on the way that I'm excited to announce to you all here in the upcoming weeks. Hopefully Higgy will finally do his job and get a couple to sign before season two starts here. And season two starts when, Higgy?
The 15th.
No.
Jesus.
After vacation?
No.
Oh, jeez.
The 18th.
Higgy, just play the 5th.
The 28th of July. That's when season 2 starts. We're going to have our crossover podcast with Big Red Louie, which Dalton also does work for. So he's going to be here representing both sides. Hopefully there's no internal conflict when it comes to that. But, no, those are some great dudes over there, Presley and Jacob. We love those guys. And they're the ones that actually got this whole thing started. They approached me to do a crossover podcast. Why am I sweating like Higgy now?
Because Higgy's like breathing right on you.
That's true. Like I thought like a quarter pounder hit me in the shoulder a second ago. I wasn't sure. But no, those are some great guys. We love. They helped us get this thing started. And then finally, after that, some of my friends that used to play at Louisville hit me up. I was like, man, that was a great podcast. You should have me on. So then the next week we head on. a couple other former cards. We got Ivan Green and Keith Kelsey in studio for that episode, and that was a treat because Keith was just passing through. He texted me. He's like, "Man, what's up, man? What are you doing?" I was like, "Man, I'm about to record this podcast. You should come through." He's like, "Give me the address," and I was like, "Bet." And that's what happened. So he came through. But anyway, let's get into recruiting. Luckily for me, I've got 4/5 of the recruiting team here. Higgy, I count you twice. But things have slowed down a little bit since our explosion episode, which, by the way, to this day, we've had over 250,000 listens to that podcast. And those listens are, you know, we appreciate those. And the people that even listen and heard Higgy and decided to tune back in the next week, we appreciate that even more. But we did get a commit yesterday, Sam. And when we were talking earlier about the Scott Satterfield effect, Catrell Clark, he popped yesterday. This was somebody that was not on any of our radars, as far as I know. We heard about, this is the kid that probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, he decommitted from Liberty University because, in a nutshell, he wasn't appreciating the vibe he was getting from the coaching staff in camp. He didn't feel safe there. Because Sam, just break it down to us.
I can't get into specifics.
I mean, you can get a little specific.
No,
we're not afraid to tackle anything on this show.
Basically, he as a young black man, he didn't feel appreciated and comfortable at the university under his coaching staff.
Absolutely.
And administrator. That's as plain and simple as I could put it.
That's all it really needs to be said. Hey, good. I mean, that's, you don't have to go into
it. We weren't asking for the Higgy version of the explanation. Oh, well, he would. No, shut up. But what did the card, when they landed Kitrell Clark, what did they land in him?
Another Brian Brown type of defensive back. A ball hawk, a playmaker, and someone who is excellent in man-to-man coverage. You know, that's what Louisville struggled with most of the time, if not all, most of last year, was DBs in their coverage, in their man-to-man coverage. So Louisville's going to get someone who's really, really quick. Yeah, he diagnoses players quickly. Like I say, he's a ball hawk and he's a playmaker, and he excels in man-to-man coverage.
Dalton, do you have anything to add on him?
Yeah, and I mean, what I can tell you is this isn't really anything I'm hearing, but kind of reading through the lines. Let's start preparing him to be eligible for this season. I mean, he transferred from Liberty, so you know the usual protocols of the sit out. But can you see the NCAA really declining a waiver of this nature? Because it's not just one guy at Liberty; it's a couple guys.
Yeah, it is
right.
Yes,
it's a few.
Who's the NCAA? I mean, I say that like the NCAA is going to make the logical decision, but in a realistic world, I mean, who is the incident? What situation are they in to be able to decline a waiver based upon a guy not feeling safe because of his race?
If it was any other school, I'd say you're right. But again, we are public enemy number one. So,
and even if we don't get him for this year, I mean, I think he would be a quality depth piece. I ultimately think he could be like a nickel cornerback just because he is a smaller guy. I think he's like 5'10", 160, so he's going to need to put on some weight. But he's extremely quick, has good hands, a good point of attack. He's got a good verticality. He's up, being able to sky up on bigger receivers. I like him as a hard-hitting defensive back. I don't see him any more than a cornerback, but honestly, that's really all he needs to be. Time and time again in the defensive schematics of Louisville, cornerback and defensive end are the two, you know, positions of need. And getting a guy who can, you know, come in and, you know, deliver some competitiveness to the overall roster. I mean, it's a win for Satterfield and company.
Absolutely, and I want to be, excuse me, I want to go on record here as saying, I'm sure other people have already said this, and that's fine. But the environment and the culture and the vibe that Scott Satterfield's given off right now and that he's creating at Louisville is one that I believe will be a culture that will be sustained here at Louisville. Like, they love playing for this guy. That's not something we've had in the past. People didn't like playing for – sorry, Coach Petrino. Nobody liked playing for him. The second time, they didn't hardly – no, the rumors were nobody knew where his office was. the first time, he had such little control that if any of that stuff ever, never mind, zipper mouth emoji. Charlie Strong was the last guy we had on campus that people loved going to war for. And yeah, they were boring 14-7 wins, but our defense got after it. They killed it. And, you know, that's what that respect and that what's the word I'm looking for, on defense, that just their discipline, the discipline on defense was something we haven't had since then. But nevertheless, Dylan, we're gonna go to you on this one, and Hickey, you can chime in maybe.
We get a new host,
Dylan Dalton. Gosh dang it, Dalton. Yeah, Dylan's Higgy's
all right, evil twin. So the swear jar's even.
Okay, yeah, we'll erase your debt for that. Yeah. Dalton, Dalton just talked, so I thought I'd give Dylan a chance. I'm trying to give everybody opportunities.
I don't have mixed personalities, but I can try. I mean,
you know what, Dylan didn't even. Dylan, you can leave. Dylan's not here anymore.
Dylan, you're fired.
Yeah, Dylan's fired. Higgy, you may be next. Dalton, the question on everybody's mind now. We've heard a couple names. On who's next to pop. Now, let's first bring up James Jackson. That's a name that me and you both have heard for a couple weeks now, that the staff was like 100%, this is a lock, this is a take. And in the last few days, well, not the last few days, I don't know about you, but I expected him to commit 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I think you and I were both under that.
Right. And I will speak for everybody but Higgy, because I don't feel comfortable doing that. And now it seems like, well, can you tell the listeners what has happened in your opinion? Because we talked about this earlier this morning, something that has happened. He got a certain offer that may have changed his mind a little bit.
I think it's a multitude of a couple of things. You know, they took Clark, so that does take away a scholarship, assuming, you know, it'll count toward the 2020 class. So we will only have 25 scholarships. So, you know, the linebacker spot, it's really been rumored that we're only going to take one, but obviously we know it's probably going to be two if a certain guy like Prince Colley lands onto the class with us. But I think the guy that we're going to be receiving a commit from might have taken the spot of James Jackson. I'm not saying that they basically pushed James away. I think that the Virginia offer was a huge one for Jackson, yeah, because he is from that area. But I got to say, you know, James Jackson is an underrated target, but this guy, I'm telling you, Jalen Alderman is the guy that we need to watch for in terms of the commitment watch. And go watch his film. He's not ranked yet, but I would assume that, you know, once you start coming around on the film, I don't even care if he does get ranked. This is a guy that reminds me of Keith Kelsey and James Burgess. Kelsey, in the way that he's able to get all over the field, he's able to affect, you know, plays in all three levels, the secondary, you know, right up by the line of scrimmage and in the backfield. But he also reminds me of Burgess in the way that he's able to pack a violent and powerful punch. And he's a guy who is not afraid to lay the hell out somebody. I mean, it's goes without saying, he might be one of my favorite commits in the class, assuming that he joins, which all signs are pointing to that stage. And I'm telling you, if there was ever a need for versatility, this guy is the real deal.
So here's what we're going to do. We never did this before. Literally what used to happen, Sam and Higgy and Joey, you can even attest to this, we would talk about somebody, and then within a day or two of our podcast, actually sometimes while the podcast was airing,
right,
it happened, but we would get a commit. So we're going to, and hopefully not jinx anything, this is going to be our first CSZ lock. By the time you listen to this podcast, this guy will be a Louisville Cardinal. That's what we're hoping. That's what the recruiting team sources are telling them. And I'm hearing maybe not the same thing, but not different either. It seems pretty – like the people that I'm talking to are pretty confident that this guy may have already given his silent verbal and that the official commitment will be out in the open this week. So hopefully that – we continue our streak of landing players. It's all Sam's. We're going to give him, Sam, the credit, and Sean, and Dalton, and everybody but Higgy.
I think you mean Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan.
Don't forget Hive.
You know what? You're fired for that.
Don't forget Hive.
Don't forget Hive.
Hive's putting in a lot of
Yeah, Hive too. You know, Hive, well, he's not here.
I am all for, you know, forming a, you know, Fantastic Four, whatever, of recruiting. I mean, we can take this shit
hey,
over.
Hey.
I'm not even lying.
You forgot Higgy.
No, he's...
I was counting...
Sean, Sam, you, Hive...
That's full.
I'm not gonna call anybody out.
You don't have to say anything else. He's not lying. That would be the Fantastic Four and Higgy. We'll change the group name to the Fantastic Four and Higgy.
The brick guy.
Yes, the thing.
The thing.
Yeah.
The thing. He was voluble. There you go, Higgy. He was pretty voluble a lot in some episodes.
We give Higgy a lot of crap, and I mean a lot of crap, on the show and in real life and in the DMs. But Higgy brings an entertainment value to the show that if he wasn't here, we probably wouldn't laugh as much. Would you agree with that, Higgy?
And this is what kind of treatment I get without Sean being here.
No, that's going to be that way every week for the rest of your life that you're here. The last topic we're going to go on that we're going to talk about today, and we apologize for the lengthy podcast today. But Sam posed an interesting question in our group chat, and we've talked about football so much this episode. I want to throw a little – plus we got T here. He's our basketball guy and everything. But Sam posed an interesting question in the group chat this week. He said on the podcast, let's talk about what would have happened if Ray Spalding, Ding Adell, and Donovan Mitchell would have stayed their senior year. Sam, I'll let you take the lead on that.
You got to give Jordan Warwick credit for that.
Okay. So now you're Higgy? You're stealing other people's ideas?
No, I sent you guys the tweet.
Okay.
I mean, apparently, I guess that's a common theme, stealing ideas and...
No, I said this was a great idea because I like the thought about it because, for one, the reason why I said I like the thought of it, was because I figured Mitchell, Spalding, and Stephen Enoch would be locked at the as three starters. Now, I don't know if you'd want to – the battle for me would be between Ding Adell and Jordan Warren. Who would be a starting three?
I think it has to be Jordan Warren.
No question.
Dang will be a hell of a six man, though.
Dang will just dribble it off his ankle.
Yeah.
Oh.
As a senior, you would have him as a six man.
Correct? Yes.
See, that was my thought originally, is because if you're in a battle with someone in a like a junior or a sophomore, then that means you haven't done enough to cement your position as a starter.
Who are our five starters?
Yeah, okay. I think it would be Quentin.
Quentin wasn't there.
He was.
Quentin was there for one of the years, wasn't he?
But
for
you're talking about if they were seniors. Yeah. Not were on that
oh,
team.
Yeah. That's true.
Then it would
that's
be true. Darius Perry would be a junior.
See, but okay. Are we saying we don't start Donovan at the one and just play Dink? I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
He's not a one.
Well, to be fair, Darius isn't either.
Yeah, but he's more of a one.
To be fair, Darius doesn't play here anymore.
In all our fairness, though, thank God, Darius played like more of a one than Donovan did.
That's
Donovan
true.
Was. He was Donovan always
had
combo.
To that
he was
for
always
a while
a combo
that year.
I think that's the only knock I have on that team because you assume we get those three back. Kristen Cunningham isn't here unless we just kick somebody out the door. You know what I'm saying? If Kristen Cunningham,
I'm okay with that.
Donovan Mitchell or Kristen Cunningham.
No. I'm saying if we were to add, you know, in a perfect world, you keep those three and you're able to add a guy like him. That's a national championship team. I'm just going to go out and say it. Yeah. A senior Donovan Mitchell. A senior Ray Spalding?
That's scary.
And then you have a floor general like Kristen, who isn't being relied on to score but just be
you
a lead guard?
Oh, gosh, Kristen Cunningham, man. He let me down. I'm sorry. He let me down.
Did like he?
If you can even ask Jeremy, like Kristen Cunningham was my favorite player of that team and then slowly just declined. I went and
well,
I
he's a graduate assistant for Louisville now.
Listen, and that's okay. He can be that. But the thing about it is, like, he proved time and time again in the toughest of games, he just couldn't stay solid down the stretch, man. He couldn't, and it's like that.
He probably got wore out, though. He was doing so much.
AT, hey, they listen to the podcast. They'll say only good things about Christian coming in.
Oh, I'm sorry, Christian, but
No. We'll reset it.
I mean,
but so what are your thoughts on Christian coming?
Oh,
Cunningham?
My God. You know what? Christian Cunningham was my favorite player, man. I loved how he stayed so solid.
He might have been better than Griffith and
Ellison. Can we retire his number yesterday?
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. Can we not assume that it's already retired after he stepped off the court for the last time?
I think they did as soon as they signed him. Like,
I retired his jersey on my wall.
He was born, and boom, I know this guy's going to be right there. Let's go ahead and make it.
His parents were born, and we knew.
No, I mean, all jokes aside, T, you know the criticism that student-athletes get anyway. Yeah. So you received your fair share.
Of course.
Especially after the NIT game against South Carolina.
You know what?
But,
let's not bring that up.
We're not going to.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Exactly. We don't talk about these things.
We're not going to.
And I'm not even balking on anything.
We going to talk about this, Joe? We're going to talk about this.
Oh, I do that notoriously, man.
Not
doing it. I send, like,
inappropriate
NSFW things to the podcast thing all the time.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to open up when you pull up the CSE podcast DM.
It's going to pop up when Joey sends it.
But, no, shout out to Christian Cunningham.
It's a pretty cool swimming trunks is all it is.
Who was the other grad assistant?
Spike Albright.
Spike Albright.
Spike. Now, that is a solid name right there.
And that is a full turnaround. That is a complete 360. I mean, who would have known? What if I would have told you?
If you can't beat them.
In the blink of an eye.
Hot twist, man.
What if I would have told you that the guy who almost
broke our back
decided to one day join the team?
I would just hand it in and shit a kiss and hand it to him.
I swear.
That will never happen. But shout out to Kristen Cunningham, Spike Albrecht, solid additions to the you got to imagine the games with the scout team games and stuff against the starters and stuff. That's got to be a pretty interesting the practice team. It's got to be, because I know the GAs normally play on the practice team. So that's got to be a good game, good runs going on there. Also, real quick, let's give us a quick shout out to Ryan McMahon, a.k.a. Rymac, so far for his performance in the TBT. Does anybody know when the title game for that is? Or when he plays? Is he playing now?
He played today, didn't he?
It was last night.
I know he played last night and scored like 19.
I thought they played again today.
Oh, I don't know.
They could. Higgy, make yourself useful.
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't been paying attention to it.
I have watched.
Was he originally on one of the teams, or did he just get added?
No, he got added.
I was going to say, because when it came out, I was looking for Louisville guys on there, and I didn't see him, so I was like, yeah, I'm not watching.
No, Luke and them were putting together a team, and something happened.
Right. He had said he was trying to put together a team, but trying and
– come on, Higgy. Snap to it. Well, while we're waiting on Higgy to answer that, when Ryan's next game is, we want to give a shout-out to our honorary site contributor, Keith Odo. He is going to – his next step is not pro basketball. He's going to become a coach. And Aspire Academy actually signed him. He's going to be coaching for Aspire this season.
Tomorrow, by the way.
Tomorrow? Okay. So, well.
That's a good gig for him.
Tomorrow now, but a couple of – man, Ryan McMahon balled out in the rest
of the
tournament.
July the 12th against Marquette.
I cannot believe that they won
Red
the whole
Scare
thing.
Red Scare versus Marquette.
Maybe.
Dwayne Wade, Darius Johnson, Odom, Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler.
Man, that would be a – they should really do that one year.
Can we just take the time to say that Russ Smith belongs in the NBA? Can we take that? With all the guys that are the scrubs that do get signed on teams.
There's no way he's not as better than at least one player.
I don't care if he's a headache. You can't tell me that you look at some of these flat-out scrubs on some of these teams, and you can't tell me that Russ Smith doesn't belong on a team on a minimum contract? Come on, man.
I think he does.
No comment.
Hey, man, you can't call the 12th man on the NBA roster a scrub, dude.
Yeah, no comment.
You
no
can't
comment.
Do that.
Okay, fair enough.
In terms
but
of the
Russ
overall,
ain't no scrub
in terms
no,
of the overall,
I've never,
yeah, no, Russ Smith ain't no scrub.
In terms of the overall competition, and not like me. I mean, obviously, I would get smoked, and everybody but T probably would as well. But at the same time, you know, I'm not saying it in a disrespect to them. I mean, I kind of was.
I'll tell you.
No,
what.
I wouldn't either. I undercut people.
When I was watching, I want to say it's Golden State Warriors, and they had Quinn Cook on their team. And I looked at him, and I was like, how in the world is Quinn Cook on an NBA roster?
Hey, Quinn Cook's lightweight. Nice.
All due respect. Quinn Cook is better.
I would agree, yes.
He
you think so?
Yes, he is. It's here, bro. It's an IQ thing. An IQ thing. Listen, Russ, you're right. He is a bucket getter. But the thing about it, see, he needs to be a point guard. He cannot be a point guard. That's the thing. Like, you all see these buckets that he's getting. all around, but you got to put him in a situation where he's going to make a team better and be a floor general. He needs to be a floor general. Like, I'm sorry, at the net, like at the next level, it's almost like Kentucky at SEC. You're not going
to who?
K.
Sorry, I can do that. I'm a guest.
No,
I'm a guest.
Just say K.
Special K.
Race management K.
So, nonetheless, it's like Kentucky. Gosh, it's like K.
Maryland
at
K.
SEC, right? You can't go back to back games where you know, just like Russ in the NBA, like he's just not going to be able to do the things like scoring 65. It's not going
to
happen.
No, I don't think you need him to come in and do that. But I think you could come. He could go in there and give your starter a rest for about 3 or 4
but
minutes at a time.
I also see what T's saying though, because like is he 6 feet? Let's
barely
but
pushing
he
barely
that's pushing that's the 6'2" is an undersized shooting guard in the league, you know. 6'5" that six even 6'5" is kind of yeah
point
exactly
guards.
I mean, I can definitely see where you're coming from, you know, looking back and analyzing it. He's never truly been like a floor general per se. He's always been a glorified scorer and very distinguished at it, and I think that's why we saw him so successful in
but
China.
But he can't be the 12th man on a roster pushing the starter in practice.
That's what
or,
I'm saying, though.
You
know, can
well,
you, can you, could you
practice?
Not,
never mind,
with
sorry.
Some of these guys, I mean, obviously to be in the NBA, you know, only so many players get to do it, and it, all these guys will whoop anybody probably not in the NBA, maybe as opposed to a couple of European players. But you can't tell me that Russ isn't better than at least one or two of these guys, or – I understand the opportunity
right.
is limited.
The one
but.
Thing now, I mean, don't get me wrong. He passed the eye test. We all know that. Like, he's a bona fide scorer, and that's all we can really say about him. Though, like, what else can you really say about him?
Right.
He's a great dude, and also a friend
he's
of the show.
Yeah. Listen, you're talking to somebody who loves Russ and what he became. Like,
right.
this dude became a diamond out of the rough. Nobody expected him
so
to explode.
So you don't think he could play defense at the next level?
No.
I think he'd get body, but he does have quick hands, but I do think he would
Steph
get body.
Steph Curry can't even play defense at the next level, bro. He's 6'3". like it has the potential to play great defense.
He would be like
defense.
An Isaiah Thomas, kind of.
Yeah,
I mean.
he's so small. But the thing about it, do I personally – there's a roster spot for him somewhere. He's got to be in there. But the one thing I will not deny, because the NBA is great at what they do. They see that talent. They analyze the talent. See, the thing about it is we don't see what those talents do behind closed doors. We just think they're this 12th man
right.
on a roster. But I really feel that 12th man on a roster can literally go over to China and bust out 65 each night too.
For
well,
sure.
Sometimes so, that 12th man is a 6'11", 7'1", something, you know,
versatile,
that you just got to have
crazy
on the roster. And, you know.
Russ isn't getting any younger.
I know it was.
It's not going to happen. I mean, unfortunately, I hope it does, but it doesn't look like it's going to change. I mean.
It was. I was watching an NBA game in 2016, and I heard one of the commentators said that a lot of guys don't want to go up against Louisville players in training camps.
Yeah,
and they also I forgot which team it was. That GM used to bring in Russ Smith to go up against college players to see exactly what that player has. And I was like,
if
you're doing
that,
then you know he has some worth. That's why I always thought that he has to have a spot somewhere, because obviously someone sees the worth in him, or else they wouldn't be bringing him in to go up against other players.
Maybe they just feel like if they get him on the roster, then he, you know, like again, like you said, the mental part of it, they don't want to possibly open themselves up.
They
want to
have
so do you think
internal right internal combustion?
Did having the name Russ Dickless hurt him at all then?
I would like to think so, because the thing about it is Russ Dickless came out of a very negative connotation in the first place. The name Russ Dickless came out of someone where you're just like, he's a heart attack every time he steps on the floor.
Think,
it's
I
like,
think Coach
and,
P did that.
Yeah. And then it turned into something much more positive as
right.
far as, okay, now this guy's going crazy. Like Russ Dickless met, he's just going to explode for points.
Exactly.
You know?
And so, I think, you know, as Louisville fans, we sat there and we watched Russ, and, you know, it was great for us because he was winning us games. But as you look at it from like a – say you're like an NBA scout or someone in the front office, and you watch this game, there's a lot of plays where you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times, there's a lot of shots ill-advised. Yeah. I'll never forget Notre Dame when we lost in however many overtimes in South Bend.
Ugh.
A lot of those shots, I'm like, man,
five.
Stop pulling up from 36 feet and shoot.
I couldn't tell you how many times we'd sit there, be watching the game, and be like, what are you doing? Oh, yeah. Good
but
shot.
That's
good,
not
good job, man. You knew what you was doing.
NBA,
but you shouldn't.
NBA
right.
scouts and stuff like that. You know, I'm not a scout or anything yeah. like that, but I find myself.
You're on your way to be.
I do a little bit of a draft really analysis and stuff like that. And I think one of the things that I get turned off about is when guys take much harder shots than they need to take. Because, I mean, there's high percentage shots, and then there's.
But if you practice it, then it shouldn't be a problem in game. Because Steph Curry and Dame Dillard take some ridiculous shots.
That's true.
But they practice that.
That's true. But let's think how many Steph Currys are out there. Steph Curry was also a lockdown shot.
You all are both saying pretty much so what me and Phillip say all the time. It's like you all both are touching on it. And the reason why we find ourselves in a situation where Russ Dickless is not in the league. And you want me to explain it to you? It's almost like what me and Phillip say on Marcus and Maven all the time.
Maven and Rummage.
Maven and Rummage.
Dylan and Dalton, we think, are calling
Steve
in.
Steve and Rummage.
Tuesday. The league is comprised of two different things. Are you ready for this? Okay. Just like you said, perennial all-stars, a perennial powerhouse athletes, which are the Steph Currys of the world, the Kevin Durants. The
James Harden, the GOAT.
Well, no, stop.
Another Russ with a big beard. But
It's true.
It's true. Except
Russ might be better than him.
I'm sorry. You're right. Russ could play a little bit of defense.
There you go.
That's a fallacy, too. We're not going to sit here and act like James Harden
once
can't
again,
play defense.
The league
bro.
Is comprised of perennial all-stars, right? Which are the Steph Currys, the Kyrie Irvings, everybody of the world.
LeBron.
And then you have LeBron James.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis.
Giannis.
Jesus, Giannis is yes. Kawhi. Yes. Nonetheless, those are the ones who can pretty much do a little bit of everything and they can do it great.
Okay.
Then you have your specialists, right? Like the Kyle
J.J. Redick.
The Kyle Korvers of the world. The
Davis Bertans. I mean.
There you go. Where does Russ fit? Somebody answer me that. Where does Russ fit? Because he's not a perennial all-star. And he's not a specialist at anything. And you all want to know
getting
why.
Buckets.
That's not a – that's
at what cost of efficiency, though?
And
at what cost
chicken,
to – you know, I look at some things and I think, you know, I try to play the devil's advocate when I say, you know, Russ could be in the league.
Yeah.
There's a such thing as scoring being empty calories. I mean, you know, cutting the flow out of – that's kind of why I'm not huge on James Wiseman is that for that same reason, offensively.
Yeah.
You can't be a black hole on offense in a league where people want to say, oh, it's a lot of individualism. They really undercut the amount of flow that goes into an NBA offense.
I just think – I don't know. I mean, what's the league minimum, like 300,000?
How did we get off on this tangent?
We're not sorry.
We're not.
Because it's
sorry.
Almost
we're
like one of those things where
this is a very organic show.
It is.
I think this is a like. I really think we're touching on something that's valuable. We want to help people understand why certain things. Like we just now said, why is Russ not in the league? Not only are we thinking that same thing. A lot, thousands of Louisville fans are wondering this right now, and
exactly.
We're trying to break it down for them to help them understand and give them a deeper, you know, a deeper idea of what. The NBA is all about and what they view as, you know, potential for the NBA or projects for the NBA. And it's just.
Do you want to take Higgy's spot from now on the podcast?
No, Higgy, I'm going
to
let you.
I mean, Golden Axe.
But I love it.
You get to play Golden Axe every time.
I will take that as a salary, but I'll come by and be in the back streets. Man.
Maya, real quick, and then we'll wrap up the show finally. My thing with Russ that I admire is that he never gave up. You know, there was a time. Going all the way back, the first time I ever heard, the first time that Higgy heard of Russ Smith was when he signed. The first time that Sam heard of him, it's fair to say, is when he signed. The first time I heard of Russ Smith was from a dear friend of mine. I got a phone call about 10:30 at night from my guy, Troy Jackson. And for those of y'all who don't know, he was Escalade on the And1 tour. He was my next door neighbor at the dorms at U of L. Great dude. Love him with all my heart. But he called me up and said, man, you'll never believe who I just had dinner with. And I said, who? He's like, Steve Masiello and Rick Pitino. I was like, oh, cool, man. I was like, what was that for? He's like, well, they were up here. They were just up here, and I found out, and I contacted them. And I wanted to say hi because Troy's older brother, Mark Jackson, NBA All-Star, great coach. Great analyst, everything, was also there. So they got to talking, and Troy actually, I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but Troy's actually the one responsible for Russ being on the team. He he told them all about Russ Smith and said, don't pay attention to his stars. Just know that this kid can get buckets. So, and rest in peace to Troy as well. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that. But there was a point in time when he almost transferred back to Manhattan because he was getting down. But instead of giving up and doing that, he decided to stay on and fight through that. And thankfully for him, a star was born. So he's always going to have a special place in my heart. His number needs to be put up in the rafters at the Yum Center. And I do believe he belongs somewhere, even if it's not in the most fundamental definition of an, especially a pro like T, of an NBA player. I think there's a spot for, especially with some of the people that I've seen on teams the last few years, he definitely deserves. But that's just my opinion. We want to thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate it. T, thank you for stop playing with the microphone in that manner. And don't think I haven't noticed Lucy licking each one of y'all's arms to see which ones taste better. And she has been licking his three times as much as yours. So I'm probably some ribs or something's coming out of the pores. But nevertheless, T, thank you for coming in. Even though he's already gone, Dylan, thank you for coming in. Dalton.
I speak for both of us when I say we're definitely.
Dalton's he's permanent going forward. So we're not going to treat him like he's special or anything.
I just like to take this time to thank God.
Here's my top five. No interviews. Appreciate all you all for listening. Sean, hopefully you're able to join us the next time, or maybe we'll just not do any more shows so Sean can't be
I don't think
on.
We can do it next time. Farmers Only's got a convention. We all know Sean is CEO of the Louisville
branch.
Hey,
Sean, hurry up and get back.
Was
bro.
It Bumble or what was it? You almost told it.
I don't
you
know.
Almost
what you
told us, but then you were like, "No,
I'm just started to." Right?
I don't
yeah.
know what you're talking about, Joe.
Yeah, he was like, "No, that's not that site. That's you almost had me, you crazy son of a gun."
Almost had him, but nevertheless, we only have a few more. Well, we don't really have a set amount of episodes left in this bonus season. We didn't mean to have a bonus season, but we felt like it was our obligation. And for some of us, it was our only form of entertainment for the whole summer was to get together and congregate, whether it be over the phone, over Zoom.
The buffet was closed. So.
Or in part, yeah, so Higgy was able to join us because they shut down the Golden Corral for a while. Higgy, I'm just
– Hey, Higgy, bro, I'm just as upset.
For the,
Higgy,
finale,
I'm just,
for the finale, Higgy's coming. He's coming at you with some fire, bro. I just know
no,
he's
dude,
just saving it.
No.
He don't have enough time for that. Because he had his opportunity to spit whatever fire Higgy had in his bones
it
against
was the
B.
Worst.
Sims
from
right
swings.
Where you sit right there.
He challenged B. Sim to a rap off, and here was Higgy's – B. Sim didn't even get to say a word, a bar. Higgy's like, my name's Higgy, and I'm here to say I love little cards in a major way.
He didn't say that even.
No, that was better than what he said.
He said, him and Imagine the Shinnikus.
He sounded like Playboy Cardi.
I think we have live, listen in.
I was just standing in Penitent Shinnikus and handed to him.
That was even better than the bars.
Unbelievable.
He had one, he didn't even have a bar.
Unbelievable.
We're not talking about
you
candy
remember what
bars.
You said,
one bar?
Not even a bar.
Higgy, what was your bar?
Not even a Snicker bar?
You probably had it.
You're not you.
Look, there's the Snicker bar right there.
Dang, man.
Oh, my God. Lucy is crashing the party.
Doesn't care.
I think it's time. It's time. It's time. Higgy, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, let's get on to the next episode.
Words of wisdom to live by.
Let's keep on keeping on.
I think these headphones are broke.
No. Probably so.
Lucy messed up the...
Yeah, I think Lucy did mess
there,
up
there
the
there
thing.
Go.
Oh, never so, mind. What? Did it fall out?
There go. That.
You know what? It is what it is.
I'll be the same.
Like I said, we only have a few episodes left in the bonus time. We're not sure if we'll have one more or two more. I'm going on vacation next week. Joey's going on vacation next week. So stay tuned to social media for the next episode date. Might even fool around and do one on vacation. You never know. We're going to... That was
un-effing believable.
Everybody's cups are getting tipped over. I don't understand what's going on here.
This is what happens when you record on a Saturday and not a Sunday.
That's exactly right. let's give one last one final shout out to our sponsors: 4PEX, Altitude, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. And as I said earlier, we're working on more. If you would like to become a sponsor of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, give us a call at 502-694-0375. That's 502-694-0375. We appreciate it. Either myself, I don't know if Higgy will. Higgy doesn't do anything, so I'm not sure he'll call you back at all. But also, follow us on social media. On Instagram and Twitter, we are at Card Sport Zone. On Facebook, we're just Cardinal Sports Zone. Individually, I'm Jeremy_CSZ. This is where you talk, Dalton.
Defense underscore. I hate that there's an underscore, by the way. Don't give me any crap because the regular defense has been taken and he hasn't been active for 5 years.
You know, I hate that. I've been trying to get at 5-5 for about 8 years, and that dude
good
don't
luck
even tweet
on that one, pal.
Yeah, I'm never going to get it. The same dude, just like, I'll DM him, say, hey, can I get that? And he'll like, do you got 25 grand? I'm like, are you out of your mind? Sam, what are you on the social media?
At baseboy124, BASEBOY124.
I'm just happy his microphone's on this time. Joey?
At JoeWoman526.
Higgy two snacks.
I am the Higgy. I am the Higgy.
Wait. Twice?
It's twice.
No, it's just once. I just had to repeat myself
so
twice.
So nice you had to say it twice.
T, what about you? Social media.
He's disgusted right now.
He is. Well, that's just because of the amount of gravy pouring out of Higgy's. Oh, here we go.
Nice and simple. VilBlessed43. VilBlessed43.
You remember when you used to think that you could have more followers than me, and then I destroyed you?
All right, guys. No, okay, that's the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. We'll see you next time. No. Maryland's trash.
Which one?
Sam's relaxed.
Hey, tap your microphone real quick.
Nope.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Got him muted. Check us out, though. Get on Facebook. Hit that like button. Make it Facebook official. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and the Barn Burner app. We're also on iHeart Podcast, which is the number one avenue for podcasts. Hit subscribe now. You'll get it before everybody else does, because the second it's uploaded, it goes to you all first. If you haven't listened to all the episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast in the past, go back, check them all out, hit that drop-down button, click podcast, hit the drop-down on the CSD podcast. We've got all of our former episodes of all three of the shows there. Select the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast one. Check them all out. Again, shout out one last time to all of our fine sponsors. Does anybody have anything final to say?
Yeah.
Sensational.
Wear a mask so the kids can wear a helmet this season, okay?
Joey? I know, but...
Maryland's trash.
You stole his catchphrase.
No, that's okay.
Higgy?
Nothing.
Oh, daggone.
You did get muted fast.
I missed it. T, you got anything final to say? Peace? You can talk. I unmuted you. Just mad because I got more followers.
He said
if you have any ideas or suggestions for guests, shoot us a DM. You can hit any. We've already given you all of our ads. Season 2 is right around the corner. Follow this. We've already given you all of our ads again. I'm sorry. Higgy wrote it 3 times.
And we just gave him it a third time.
We did.
At JoeWoman526.
No, we're not doing
at
that.
At JoeWoman526.
We're not doing that. We're not
I
doing that.
I have the Higgy.
It's underscore.
Higgy 2 snacks.
That's why I cannot fool with y'all anymore. Until next time, this has been the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast.
No cards.
Peace.
It ain't no biggie. I'm sitting right here next to the dude named Higgy. He kind of looks like a pig. He kind of looks too big. Man, I'm sorry that probably hurt, but at least it fit better than your shirt. Oh!
Eminem's got a new competitor.